Everybody, welcome to the Bike Lab. I'm just going to call it the Bike Lab podcast. We may talk about performance, we may talk about bikes, smushed rear wheels, rims.
What else could we talk about?
Squeaky leather couches that make like weird noises this whole podcast.
We have significantly upgraded the podcast studio. We have a plant that's more than adequately watered.
Whoa.
We have a coffee table.
Your wife would be proud. Yeah. I'm still in awe of this picture up here. It's like the world's biggest painting.
It's
of
the
bridge.
World's smallest little, well, maybe not smallest little bike shop office, but a gigantic piece of art from Mr. Houchin adorns the wall. And we're not even, don't say what it is. Don't say what it is. Only those that have been back here can know what this is a picture of.
I think it's holding the wall down.
It is. It's as big as a dining room table on the wall.
It was either Goodwill or Tony's office.
That's it. I am Tony Stewart, owner of the Bike Lab. We have with us Brandon Jackson.
Hey, everybody.
And Matt Lanier.
What's up, guys?
Matt manages Whole Shot Coffee, which is connected to the Bike Lab. And when you're a member of the Bike Lab Club, what do you get, Matt?
You get free brewed coffee or Americanos.
Any day of the week.
Yep.
That's it. It's like Oklahoma City's own RCC Club.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing.
We don't even have a Walmart sign out front.
I feel so special. When
Well, we missed an episode last week. I was in South Dakota, and driving back from there, I was avoiding all the flooding happening in Omaha. It was a real blast. But in the 2 weeks since we've had a podcast, of the podcasters, I'm the only one that is unscathed.
Yeah. Or as Tony put it earlier, this is a podcast about how Tony became the fastest guy on the team. In this room.
You know, I think on our club right now, there may be some guys that are fitness faster, but they may not be better racers yet. I guarantee they are. The Fuentes boys, mm-hmm. absolutely. Dustin Smith, riding fast. Thunder Thursday, Renee was dropping me, right? Now, in the race, there's different things happening, but for some reason, somehow, some way, I downgraded and thought, man, these great guys are going to be like really kicking butt. And now, in the last 2 weeks, we've had major changes happen. So today's topic is, you have plans, you've been training through the winter, and then you find yourself in a feed zone.
Wadding it up.
Brandon, what happened to you in the last 2 weeks?
I was racing and I wadded it up.
that's the technical term.
What's the non-technical term? I made some stupid mistakes, honestly. I just... there was some attacking pretty much the whole race, and I don't have that kind of fitness this time of year, and so every time I had to time trial back on, and about the eighth time that I had to do it, I was a little bit out of it, and grabbed a bottle, tossed a bottle, and with my palm on the bar, I touched wheels with somebody else and ate it pretty good.
I think we should clarify that this was the Draper Road Race.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Two weekends ago. With
the long, I kept calling it the last ronde. That's not the name.
I didn't correct
it's
you.
It's L-E-N-D, land, lawn. It's some kind of German word for last lap. Or Belgian.
Yeah.
But anyways.
It was
the road race that you crushed.
It was the road race, but it was also like Oklahoma crosswinds to the extreme, right?
30,
yeah,
40 miles.
But like, this is the... tailwind, in that particular section, it wasn't the problem.
The fact still stands, though, that whenever you're fighting that much crosswind and you're just holding on for dear life the entire race, a lapse in judgment or concentration can send you to the ground real quick.
Yep.
It can. And of the days to crash, I would have assumed a Sunday would have been the day to crash at the go-kart course, which that crit was amazing.
Please rub it in.
It was so cool.
You have no idea how much I was looking forward to that.
Time goes by really fast when you get my age. And I realized it had been Intelligentsia in 2016. The Intelligentsia Cup in Chicago, since I had done a criterium.
Wow.
And I was thinking, man, I can corner pretty good in crits, thinking I'd have an advantage. in the Ronde Crit.
12 corner crit on a go-kart track.
And I did not. I attacked early for some reason because it was the right thing to do. Established the brake that stood away and then got dropped out of it because I couldn't get through a corner without getting gapped every time. By the end of the race, I felt like once that happened, I'm like, okay, what's wrong?
Every time we were doing Thunder Thursday at Lake Hefner, I was trying to prepare you for that moment.
Yeah. Into the black darkness, right-hand turns into oncoming traffic. Yeah, I was not ready.
Potholes and some chip seal.
We made it through.
But Brandon crashed. Shoulder was out of socket for how many days before you got it put back in?
3 days or something like that.
3 days.
A lot of rib stuff, and I just felt like junk. So, just coming out of it now.
So that's a major disruption to your season.
For sure.
I will say, Brandon made it one lap further than I did at the road race. I made it 2 laps, and then hung out with Chris Cooper. And then here comes Brandon for the start.
I crashed in a very convenient place for you guys.
Yeah, he cracked right in front of us, so he made it exactly one lap further than I did.
Well done. And then Matt, you've had some things happen here recently.
Yeah, just life.
Life stuff happens.
Life stuff. It happens. It's taken me off the bike for a little bit, and it'll be for a little bit longer.
A recalibration of how you approach being on the bike and doing things, and so that's been a major disruption as well.
Yep, it's I can only introduce so many variables back into my life right now. It's not something that I prefer to share right now, but if you want to come talk to me about it, then come find me at Whole Shot Coffee. Buy a coffee.
That's the price to entry.
And then I'll tell you what's going on.
Price to entry.
So I'm taking some time off the bike.
But here's a dynamic I've seen, because I did, you know, despite being dropped out of that break, it was purely fitness and lack of skill. But I didn't crash. I didn't run into anything. I took the Dad Bod Crit Squad bike, this BLA sprint out there. Mm-hmm. But my perspective, and the reason I wanted to make this a topic for the podcast today, is disruptions happen. They happen. And as I saw Brandon, you going through this, you mentally at first... maybe still really down, blaming yourself. Like, I messed this up, I ruined whatever's gonna happen. Where are you at now, man?
Yeah, I mean, I was that. I told people at work and just family members and stuff. I was, for a few days there, I was throwing some pity parties.
You were pretty upset. Pretty good. I was talking to you that day.
And I just. It's just the split second thing that just happens that it's just a wrong decision, and all it takes is one little millisecond mistake, and it's just so frustrating because you have all these plans, all this work that you're putting in, all the sacrifice that me and my family and everybody around me have to make just so I can do this, and then that little split second thing, it's just it that aggravates me that I don't live up to those expectations, I guess. But yeah, so I was down. I think part of it is physical, because I'm so used to training day in and day out.
And you're addicted to that. You literally get addicted to that.
Yeah,
so
the dopamine.
You don't have that.
Yeah.
Stress mounts up quicker.
Yeah. I don't sleep as well. Digestion's bad. Weight comes back a little bit. Like, all these things that just make things worse every single day I got into.
You should try a vegan diet.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Burning 1,000+ calories a day helps with keeping that weight down,
no
matter what you do.
But
so anyway, I was down. A lot of it also was just pain. You kind of get grumpy when you're in constant pain.
Right.
So body's healing now. Help me, Ryan French, Live Well Chiropractic
up there off of Memorial, just north of Mercy Heart Hospital.
He's been amazing.
Yeah. Dr. French.
He has
a killer specialized bench, by the way.
Yeah. I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's an incredible bike.
Yeah. So he's the man. He's been really helping me get out of it and kind of guiding me through the process, and just giving me advice and adjusting me and all that. And so physically he's been helping me get out of it, but mentally I kind of was in a funk for a few days, and I think for me, I tried to resist it. I was like, this is not okay, and I pushed back against it. I was like trying to get back on the bike, and I was just in super amount of pain, and it wasn't good. And so then I kind of just gave into it, and I was like, okay, this happened for a reason. What is the good that can come out of this? I'm focusing on the bad. What is the good that can come out of it? And I got to spend a lot more time with my family. My family depends a lot on me, and I make a lot of stuff happen for my family.
Yeah.
But in this case, my family had to help me.
Right.
They had to support me. And that was just a unique thing for us to do, and it was kind of a bonding thing. And so there's some a lot of good that came out of it, too. And so just kind of had to settle into that and be okay with it and know that this happened for a reason, and this I do this for fun, and it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me share this with you, Brandon. So last summer, before Pro-Am, I was feeling really good on the bike, rolling in Pro-Am, really trying to peak for the Cat 2 races at Pro-Am.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately prior to that, in May, I got into my accident last summer and got hit by a truck. I was off the bike totally for 3 weeks, just on the couch, in bed, just like laid up.
Yeah, you woke up in the ambulance.
Yeah, I don't remember the accident at all. I was, it's probably some of the worst pain that I've been in the following week or so after that.
Yeah.
The body heals, you take it slow, okay, and you refocus your goals. So that year, I was really focusing on Pro-Am.
Right.
I had a lot of time to think, right, whenever you're laying up in bed. And then I refocused my goals and my priority for that year to Gateway later in the year. And we went out to Gateway. I got back on the bike, took it slow, built up some intensity.
And you freaking podiumed on a cross bike.
And we were able to podium at Gateway. So there's the body heals. You may lose some of that fatigue resistance, right? Where if you're on the bike tons and tons and tons, you can stay peak form for 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
I don't know why you just looked at me when you said that.
I'm looking around.
All right, okay.
So you may lose some of that, but you can still peak for a 3-day event, 2-day event, even with some of that setback.
I think there's a... We invest a lot as amateur adult athletes. I think one of the main things we invest or that we sacrifice is the foolhardiness of being an adult athlete and how it can feel foolhardy. It can feel almost silly to be spending this time and racing a bike with a number on and you're not a pro. But it is part of who you are. It's how you're seeking personal achievement. It's how you are making yourself better and pursuing something that just straight up makes you happy. And even sometimes as an adult, when you're busy and have a lot of responsibilities, doing something that makes you happy can feel foolhardy because there's important things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a mental model around approaching that, and I've seen a lot of adult athletes, men and women, who, because they step so boldly into the sacrifice of being the athlete, they also go so far as to try to control everything. And if they feel like some part of it's getting out of their control, they almost step away.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're in the middle of a race season, you could just have a bad season of form. And I've seen that break some people down. And having a positivity around a couple of realities. A, I don't remember the last professional cycling race I've seen without a crash.
Mm, yeah, realizing it's gonna happen.
It's an inherent danger. And you were really quick to say, I shouldn't have. Well, you were on your limit. You're in a race, which is the point. Everything's going to be a little slower. Crashes just happen, right? Now, whether you could have avoided it or not is irrelevant. The what if will kill you. What matters is it did happen. And the mistake I see a lot of athletes make, and you were leaning into it at first, is they are so concerned with training that they don't heal.
try to get back into it too quickly.
You know, all you have to do is look at the shoulders and collarbones of a lot of road racers to look at. You never even went to get that checked out. You never even let it heal. You were so amped up about maybe ego or not wanting to lose out on something that you hopped on the bike and a trainer so quickly that you didn't actually need to just let your body heal from hitting the pavement at whatever speed, right? And so there was this, I've been doing morning meditation, and there's this one recently that talked about the visualization of a lake and how a lake just accepts what you bring to it, just accepts it. And so if you go there and you're just sitting near it, it's near you. If you go and you're fishing, then you're receiving something from it. If you go there and you're just tossing rocks at it, yeah, you can see the splash, but then it smooths out. And it's just open and it accepts what's going to happen. because it is what it is. And I think we get into, as adults with cycling, I think there's a point where you have to be willing to just, you may have rocks tossed at you, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're a wave machine, right? It hits, it's going to ripple, and then it's going to smooth out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go back to this reality of, no, positivity is the only strategy I have to deal with this. I love it because of the work. And the races are the celebrations. And leaning into that. Because, I mean, Desiree White just had a bad crash, too, at Sooner Stampede, torn rotator cuff. She had big goals. She national champion last year in a couple of different things and wanted to do that again. But she's been racing for 20, 30 years. She's going to keep racing. She's not going to miss out on racing opportunities. She's got to heal first.
Yeah.
And I think you can get a little anxious about that schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, coming off that VO2 discussion of,
yeah,
you know, how important that is and the windows and the timing and all that stuff. And you just have all those mental plans and they just don't work out, but it's just accepting that
we talked about this a little bit. There's there's the ideal of how you're going to train, what weeks you're going to do what, and
sure.
what workouts you're going to do. That's the ideal.
Yeah.
If you get set back a couple weeks because of an injury, because of weather, because of whatever it is, you may not hit that ideal, but that doesn't mean you can't still compete at a high level. And still enjoy what you're doing. As athletes, especially as cyclists, we enjoy the work, like you said. The only reason we do this
yeah.
is because we enjoy.
Well, I think
we enjoy the work.
There's many ways to approach it. Enjoying the work, like there's some people, if we're being straight, that are escaping something, and cycling was an escape for them. But that's maybe a way for them to escape and be a nice person when they get back.
Sure.
Maybe the racing is part of that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like enjoying that process, knowing why you're in the game. If it's only to prove something to somebody else,
that's going to be short-lived.
Not only short-lived, but your insecurity is going to swallow
mm-hmm.
you whole.
Yeah.
So you got to find your own why
mm-hmm.
in the midst of that. And then realize that when you have things that happen, it's going to be the why that grounds you,
mm-hmm.
not the what.
Mm-hmm.
What race am I going to miss?
Yeah.
How is my training going to be effective?
Mm-hmm.
Peel it back and say, well, why am I doing this in the first place? And for me, as a father with kids at home, and sometimes I'm riding when I could be home or whatever, I want my kids to see me continue to pursue something that not only makes me happy, but makes me better, and something that takes real work, right? Staying at home and playing video games and being real good at that, that's not going to, I mean, I guess it could teach them if I'm on Fortnite and crushing it. I don't know right now. I show up to Fortnite, I understand the game, I get absolutely demolished. For me, there's something about pursuing cycling that I feel like me pursuing that in an appropriate and balanced way, not balanced, in an appropriate way,
mm-hmm.
Matters. The why matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's part of why we wanted to have this podcast today is, I think there's some...
A therapy session for Brandon.
For Brandon and for Matt.
That's why I brought the couches in.
That's why I brought the couches
right?
in.
It's a therapy session. I
but,
get it.
Yeah, I get all
and the
together.
And the plant.
Well, there's some people who get real short-lived in cycling, and there's this 2 to 3 year window where folks jump into it, and it's really about the what and the how. How do I do this? What's the next race?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do to upgrade? Like, it's a lot of hows and whats, and very rarely do I see them peeling back the why. And that's what I love about bike racing, is because when you can actually dial into that why, it feels to me like the biggest competitive advantage, because then the train is unstoppable. It's unstoppable, right? You run into something that pulls you out of training for a few weeks, like your crash last year,
mm-hmm.
your crash here recently. But if you know your why, then it's okay.
Yeah, you just roll with it.
It's because it's unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to keep being that person. That why is still going to be relevant. You're still going to want to prove those things to yourself,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you're going to own it. Instead of the hows and whats, the whys is what is that long term. So maybe taking a moment to pull back on the why.
Yeah, sure.
Is part of that.
Sure. And cycling, I mean, racing bikes and just riding bikes is such a unique sport in the athletic world that you can be a competitive athlete on a bike, competitive in some regard, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old. You can still be a competitor in some degree.
My whole national championship goal is to be the last person standing, like the 85, 89 race.
Right? I mean, you can't do that if you're going to go...
Last man standing.
I don't know many like 80-year-old people playing football or
no.
trying to play some soccer or even like running is little bit like that too. Just wear and tear on the body. Cycling, you don't have that. So whenever you have a setback of a couple weeks now, if you get so caught up in your short-term goal that you can't see that, you can continue to be an excellent athlete year over year, and you can still be a competitor, and you can still have goals over and over again after you recover from whatever this couple weeks to a month off the bike is,
mm-hmm.
that's a good mental relief.
Yeah.
Especially for me. Whenever I say, I'm at the age where I'm still hoping to be fast for another, you know, 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Whenever you look at, like,
30, by which you'll still be, like, 6 years younger than I am currently.
Yeah, definitely. So, this 1 year, I don't hit my goals, but that doesn't mean...
it's done.
That doesn't mean it's done.
No.
You're still going to kick my ass plenty of times.
Oh, that's the plan.
Well, the whole part I think about cycling is it constantly kicks my ass, right? Like, there's not a race I've ever had any kind of victory or success in that I was the dominant person.
Right.
It was a roll of the dice. Just showing up enough times and really caring about what was happening there, it just kind of happened, right? But there's not been a race I've been in that I just kind of dominated one. Like, yeah, of course I did. Like, it's always been this gamble of...
it's always felt hard.
It's always felt hard. And what I love about bike racing, too, is when you play other sports, you're never trying to beat one other team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bike race, you'd be trying to beat 99 other people.
Yep.
Like, I love that, right? Mm-hmm. But my love of that also is what is unstoppable, right? So... when you have these major interruptions. And for a lot of folks, I don't think it's crashing. Maybe it's mental or emotional crashing.
Yeah, I think crashing is probably the less likely thing to happen to most people,
right?
Crashing out of a season is not very likely to
happen.
Unless
you're Bobby Snyder.
Yeah.
Or Chris Cooper.
Well, we know some chronic crashers for sure. But the mental burnout, or maybe you're changing a job, right? Maybe your family is
moving a bike shop to a new location,
right?
Launching a coffee shop.
Yeah, maybe you got like the dream vacation lined up for this year, and you know, crashing is what happened to Brandon.
Yeah,
random life stuff happened to me, so that's it's not just crashing.
Sure.
It's not just wrecking your body on the bike.
Yeah,
it's just disruptions.
Yeah, I think it's just those disruptions. I think focusing on that why, because there's a lot of guys that and girls that they have to take a break because of family stuff,
mm-hmm.
because of relational stuff, and like entirely from riding, they have to just completely quit. And I'm like, well, I don't know if maybe you thought about the why enough, because if you have an understanding of the why, I don't think you 100% cold turkey quit. I think it's part of who you are, and it's okay to keep rolling with.
Yeah.
But I think the crash scenario...
unfortunately, our podcast microphone's battery died, and so you don't get to hear all the end of this podcast. There's only a couple more minutes, and again, we're talking about how to recalibrate after a major disruption to your training and racing schedule. So... if you want help with that, part of our whole approach with coaching at Bike Lab Performance is not just the workouts, but how to help it match to your life and the stress you have there, even travel disruptions for someone who works and travels a lot, or things that just happen in life. If you'd like some mentoring through a process like that, or if you've just had a recent crash or disruption and you want some help getting back on schedule, we'd be thrilled to help you out. If you have questions about that, you can email us at info@thebikelabokc.com, or you can go to our website, thebikelabokc.com, click on Bike Lab Performance, and see what we have to offer.